Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. A salmon a day keeps the doctor away? While there's no question that seafood is a widely available source of the vitamins and minerals that we all need to stay healthy. It's a nutritious food that's high in good quality protein, low in saturated fat, and rich in polyunsaturated fats. And it's also an especially good source of the omega-3 fatty acids EPA and DHA. Extensive research conducted over the past several years suggests that there are genuine health benefits in a diet that includes seafood, especially if you're looking to reduce your risks for certain forms of heart disease. Studies have shown that infant brains and visual systems get a boost from seafood consumption. Over the past few decades, more Americans have started adding fish, shellfish, and mollusks to their menu. Shrimp, canned tuna, and fresh salmon top the list, with pollock, catfish, tilapia, crab, cod, and clams also claiming fans. But rising demand is changing the nation's seafood supply. The preference among consumers for seafood from the oceans is leading to shortages of some kinds of fish and shellfish. Aquaculture, or fish farming, is therefore becoming an increasingly important source of the seafood that hits our dining room tables. While most people benefit from eating seafood regularly, it's also true that contaminants that may be present in some seafood can pose a risk to especially susceptible groups of people. Chemicals, metals, and other substances, as well as potentially harmful microbes, have been found in seafood, though the amount varies significantly based on the type, size, geographic source, and age and diet of the fish. Seafood is the major source of human exposure to methylmercury, a contaminant that accumulates in the muscle of animals. Because evidence suggests that methylmercury can disrupt neurodevelopment in the human fetus, women who are pregnant or wish to become pregnant should avoid consuming lean, predatory fish such as swordfish, shark, king mackerel, and tilefish, and limit their consumption of albacore or white tuna. Other potential risks associated with eating seafood include exposure to organic pollutants such as dioxin and PCBs, as well as microbial infections, which are contracted mainly through the consumption of raw or undercooked fish and shellfish. People who consume seafood that they catch themselves also need to remember that they're eating seafood that isn't subject to commercial regulation. Reported numbers of illnesses from seafood-borne microbes have remained steady over the past several decades. Eating raw seafood continues to be risky. Exposure to Vibrio, a bacterium that contaminates raw oysters, causes illness, and norovirus infection is still a concern. To help consumers make informed choices, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, asked the Institute of Medicine of the National Academies to review the available evidence on the benefits and the risks associated with a diet that includes plenty of seafood. Advice to consumers about balancing the benefits and risks of eating seafood must obviously be based on the best available scientific information. But that scientific evidence is diverse, incomplete, and uncertain. Reliable data on the distribution of some contaminants is lacking, and there's little evidence on how the beneficial effects of seafood might counteract some of the risks from contaminants. The IOM also noted that the evidence suggesting that people who have suffered heart attacks can reduce their risk of future heart attacks by eating seafood is weaker than previously thought, though it did confirm that eating fish and shellfish may reduce people's overall risk for developing heart disease. While it's possible that this is simply because people are substituting the lean protein of seafood for fatty cuts of meat, which reduces a person's intake of saturated fat and cholesterol, it could also be because of the protective effects of the omega-3 fatty acids, which are found in relatively high amounts in many fish species. It's also unclear whether consuming seafood actually reduces people's risks for diabetes, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, or other common ailments. In the end, the IOM supports current dietary guidelines and seafood advisories, but with some caveats. For instance, the IOM does not support giving those with a history of heart disease different advice from that given to the general population. But they do say that most people can gain nutritional benefits from seafood while minimizing their risk of exposure to contaminants by selecting fish and shellfish in amounts that fall within current dietary guidelines. There's no doubt that the fragmented information that consumers receive about the nutritional value and health risks associated with fish and shellfish can be confusing. And it's clear that presenting the scientific evidence on seafood's benefits and risks in a more coherent way would be useful to the public. Helping consumers to make seafood choices requires giving them information to weigh the benefits and risks of different fish and shellfish varieties and to understand the trade-offs of substituting seafood for other protein sources. For example, healthy young women who are or wish to become pregnant should avoid certain types of fish that are higher in methylmercury, but this need not be a concern for men. Choosing a serving of salmon instead of a serving of fatty beef will lower a woman's intake of saturated fat and cholesterol and boost her intake of omega-3 fatty acids, but it will also reduce her iron intake and may increase her exposure to methylmercury slightly. Selecting light canned tuna instead of salmon will decrease her exposure to dioxin, but it may increase her exposure to methylmercury and reduce her intake of omega-3 fatty acids. The IOM presented a variety of tools that could be used to inform consumers, including a series of questions designed to provide advice tailored to their specific needs. This way of arriving at a decision could be used as a basis for developing additional decision support tools and other consumer guidance. The Institute of Medicine developed sample graphs illustrating how levels of omega-3 fatty acids and methylmercury vary in different types of fish. These graphics may present this information to consumers more effectively than plain text or numbers, but their design and wording haven't been tested yet among consumers. Testing through focus groups or other empirical means should be an integral part of efforts to develop new seafood communications tools and strategies to make sure that they're clear and don't lead to unexpected negative results. For example, previous advice to Native Alaskans to reduce their intake of seafood and marine mammals, which was intended to reduce their exposure to pollutants, inadvertently resulted in many people eating greater amounts of high-calorie, low-nutrient, processed foods. Because seafood supplies and cultivation practices change constantly, it would be difficult for federal agencies to develop a list of good fish and bad fish that wouldn't become obsolete in a relatively short period of time. But there are some guidelines that we can all keep in mind. Lean fish are good sources of proteins, are low in saturated fat and cholesterol, and provide moderate amounts of omega-3 fatty acids. Predatory fish with long lifespans, such as swordfish, shark, and tilefish, contain levels of methylmercury that are too high for pregnant and breastfeeding women. Fatty fish, such as salmon, are good sources of protein and provide the highest amount of omega-3 fatty acids. They also contain higher levels of saturated fat and cholesterol and can accumulate higher amounts of pollutants such as dioxin and PCB, depending upon the source. Their methylmercury burden is lower than that of many lean fish. Shellfish and crustaceans are good sources of protein and low in saturated fat, although some contain moderate amounts of cholesterol. They present the greatest risk of microbial infection if eaten raw. For all seafood categories, levels of contaminants such as dioxins and PCBs in commercially obtained fish generally don't pose health risks when consumed in amounts recommended by federal agencies. These contaminants tend to be geographically specific problems. State advisories are intended to alert the public about contaminated fish and shellfish from regional and local sources. Increasingly mindful of the choices we make about the foods that end up in our grocery carts, on our tables, and in our bodies, consumers are hungry for information that will help them make better decisions about the seafood they take home with them. With the release of this new report, the Institute of Medicine offers a foundation upon which federal agencies can develop advice that presents information in a user-friendly way and allows consumers to weigh all the relevant details so that they can make those well-informed choices. The Committee on Nutrient Relationships in Seafood was chaired by Malden C. Nesheim, Provost Emeritus and Professor of Nutrition Emeritus at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. This report was sponsored by the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration with additional support from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Established in 1970 under the charter of the National Academy of Sciences, the Institute of Medicine provides independent, objective, evidence-based advice to policymakers, health professionals, the private sector, and the public. For more information on seafood choices, balancing benefits and risks, contact the Institute of Medicine's Food and Nutrition Board. You may contact them by calling 202-334-2352. You may also read the full text of this book online at the National Academies Press. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.